This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Right now, let's go live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent, joining us this morning. And today, the Pope's general weekly audience takes on a new focus, and that's the focus on the Beatitudes. Ashley, good morning.
Well, good morning. Buongiorno to you, John. Yes, we have moved after finishing the cycle, studying the Acts of the Apostles, now to the book of Matthew and specifically the Beatitudes. Today, the Pope called the Beatitudes an identity card for Christians. He was referring to the fact that since they describe what he called the face and heart of Jesus, this is a way that we can get to know Jesus by living the Beatitudes, and it's through these Beatitudes that we come to happiness. In the audience today, the Pope first looked at Moses giving the Ten Commandments on Sinai and equated that to Christ giving these new commandments there from the hillside. And these new commandments were meant to be that path to true happiness, the happiness that God promises to the faithful, to his people. Now, in breaking down each of the Beatitudes, we looked at three parts this morning. The first is the opening word of each blessed. And then the next part would be what he called the situation in which people find themselves. So, for example, poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are thirsting for justice, for example. And then, of course, each ends with the reason why they are blessed. So the Beatitudes are meant then to teach us that we are blessed not in our present situation, but rather by the new condition that is waiting for us through God's grace. So today the Pope called these eight doors, and it's doors through which we really encounter the power of God's love that is meant to transform our lives and can transform history as well. And the Beatitudes then point upward. They move us beyond our limitations, beyond our fears and failures. And, of course, just in a similar way, we're being moved toward that paschal joy that comes from Christ, his own victory, his victory from death to life. And finally, today, the Pope asked us, to each of us, to go to Matthew chapter 5 quite often to read those Beatitudes and to be reminded that this is the way that we can be filled with God's grace and joy. It's not the way of the world, which is power, domination, revenge, he said. But instead, it's the Beatitudes that will lead us to authentic joy. John?
Ashley Nerona, live from Rome with a recap of the Pope's general weekly audience. And in light of the tragic news about Kobe Bryant dying in that helicopter crash on Sunday, perhaps, and I'm sure sports fans knew this, but a lot of us did not know that as a little boy, he spent a great deal of time in Italy.
Yes, he sure did. In fact, his family moved to Italy when he was around 6 years old. That was in 1984. And that was because his father was playing professional basketball here in Italy. And the family moved around. They lived in four different parts of the country. But Kobe, as a result, he spoke Italian fluently, and he had such fond memories of his time in Italy. He always said that Italy will always be close to his heart. And he had memories of, for example, playing on his first youth basketball team. It was for a local team, Cantine Riunite, which was a local winemaker, was the sponsor. They made the region's sparkling red Lambrusco wine. And his teammates in these days have been recalling what a special young man he was, and, of course, how they also even saw his budding talent, even at such a young age. They talked about how even by the age of 11, they knew that he was going to be a powerhouse in some way. Now, Kobe Bryant himself spoke about how he really credits his story to starting right there in Italy. And his father's teammates would talk about how Kobe would always come to his dad's practices. He would help in any way he could. He would jump up and try to grab the hoop and crawl through it. If someone fell on the floor, it would be he who would run up with a mop and try to clean up after them. And, you know, it's interesting, in his personal life, we see his love for Italy reflected in the names that he chose for his four daughters. Of course, his daughter, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna Maria Onore, is who died with him so tragically in Sunday's crash. But his other three daughters are Natalia Diamante, Bianca Bella, and Capri. So very Italian names that he gave to his little girls. And so we have been seeing all kinds of social media coming from sports teams, coming from local teams that he was part of. In fact, his local youth basketball team published a photo of their young little basketball team when they were about 11, when Kobe was about 11. And they said they were proud to have been the first to see him take the court. And they said that they will never forget their time with Kobe. And here in Italy, there are various ways that different teams are honoring him throughout this entire week. Every professional team in all levels of basketball are going to pay homage to Kobe Bryant with a moment in style of silence in every game for the next 7 days. His favorite soccer team of all time was AC Milan. And in their game yesterday, they actually stopped and showed a photo of Kobe Bryant in an AC Milan soccer jersey. And this week, the entire team are wearing armbands in his memory. So, of course, one of our greatest consolations in the loss of Kobe Bryant and his dear daughter is that we know that they, of course, attended Catholic Mass that morning. They were able to receive the Eucharist before boarding that helicopter. So Italy is certainly united with the United States in mourning Kobe Bryant and those who were in that helicopter on Sunday.
And you mentioned how social media lit up on Sunday afternoon, including tweets from Archbishop Jose Gomez and Bishop Robert Barron, both of whom are in Rome for their ad limina visits, Ashley.
Right, exactly. Yes, in fact, all of the California bishops are here right now. And so, of course, that is certainly an extra difficulty always to be away during times of tragedy. But these are the days when they are going to be meeting with the Pope, et cetera, and having their special papal meetings and consistory meetings that happen every 5 years for our bishops, John.
Ashley Nerona, live from Rome today on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, the latest news of Rome and the Vatican, a recap of the Pope's general weekly audience. And of course, we always plug you into a little bit of color. And very often that color of Italy is connected to our Catholic faith with some very special traditions. What are the special traditions coming up for the Feast of St. Blaise next week?
Yes, well, St. Blaise, or San Biagio, as we say in Italian, is celebrated very specially here. So he, of course, was a Catholic bishop, but he was an Armenian man, and nevertheless, he is beloved here in Italy. Now, because of his faith, he was eventually imprisoned by the Romans back in 316, and even during all of the trials that he was put under, he refused to deny the Christian faith. And eventually, he was torn to pieces, sadly, his body with iron combs. Now, these are the combs they used to card wool, which are like wooden paddles covered in pinboard. And so today, he is the patron, actually, of wool carders. He's the patron of animals and agricultural activities. And we also know him as the patron for throat ailments and for ENT specialists as well. So it's said that during persecution times, when he was being tried and when he was sentenced to death, as he was being led away to his torture and death, a woman came running up to him with her little boy. He was suffocating from a fishbone that had gotten stuck in his throat. St. Blaise blessed him, and this boy lived. He managed to be healed at that moment. So, of course, we continue in that memory, and this is why we bless the throats. The priests bless our throats on that day with those two crossed candles over the throat. But here in Italy, there's all kinds of additional things that will happen. For example, many towns have the custom of distributing blessed bread after the special feast day mass of St. Blaise. And there's a town called Cavriana, Italy, and it's up near Mantua. And for over 450 years, on February 3rd, on the Feast of St. Blaise every year, they distribute a special, what they call St. Blaise cake. So imagine that it's a short crust pastry. It's made with butter and white wine. And then the inside is stuffed with almonds and chocolate. They put in anise and lemon zest. And then, of course, every family who makes it at home has secret ingredients of their own. And so this is a sweet that is especially to remember, of course, the sweetness of the love that St. Blaise had for Christ, that he was willing to give his life. And the same town each year makes a 10-foot diameter giant cake, giant St. Blaise cake, that they then distribute to all the people who come to town that day. And the third, of course, is the day after the Feast of the Presentation on the 2nd, which is the official end of the Christmas season on the Roman calendar. So right now here in Rome, everyone's Christmas decorations are still up. We are still very much in the Christmas season. In St. Peter's Basilica, you'll still find the Nativity, and that's because we haven't stopped celebrating. But to end the season, a tradition that Italians have on the 3rd, on St. Blaise's feast day, is that they will eat all of their old Christmas cakes. So anything that wasn't finished on the days of Christmas, they have saved now, and they will bring it out on the 3rd to officially end the Christmas season. And the Italians have an interesting little saying, John. They say that when the bearded, the arrowed, and the mitered feast days come, then the cold goes away. So what they're referring to are some very important saints' feast days in the month of January. When they say the bearded, they're speaking about St. Anthony the Abbot, whose feast was the 17th of January. When they say the arrowed, they're referring to St. Sebastian, who, of course, was shot by arrows. And his feast we just celebrated on the 20th. And the third part of that old saying, the mitred, they're referring to the bishop, St. Blaise, on the 3rd of February. So what their tradition is that after those three feast days have finished, the cold will go away and we'll begin to get an inkling of spring, John.
Wow, that's great. And Glenn, you can have the leftover Christmas fruitcake in the Relevant Radio kitchen. You can have first dibs on that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent. She teaches crisis communications and media training to priests and seminarians. And Ashley and her husband, John, have founded this beautiful project. It's called the Truth and Beauty Project, and it provides Renaissance-style theological formation visitors to Rome. You can learn more at truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure. God bless you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.